We're back again. It's Chase and Josh with Factor Fantasy. That's Chase. I'm Josh, and we are here to give you the next installment of Demon Slayer Season 1. This week, we're going to be going through episodes 16, 17, and 18. I took us through 13, 14, and 15 last week. That means Chase is going to be the one guiding us here today. Super excited to dive on into it. Before we do, I'm going to turn the floor over to Chase to say a few words.
Got a badass action-packed episode today. We are really starting to get into the big climb up to Mount Natagomo, and it's going to be badass. Remember last week we had the spiders, and maybe get to see a little action from my boy Zenitsu.
Heck yeah, man. Well, what do you say? We raise our glasses in the air, quick cheers, and then I'll let you dive right on in.
Cheers, man. Malice in the chalice. Drinking, breathing. Let's do it. Okay, let's kick it off. So episode 16 starts out. My boy Zenitsu, he's out of breath and is looking for Nezuko in the forest. And he's like, Nezuko! Where'd you go, Nezuko? And as one of the Demon Slayer Corps members are attached to webs on Mount Natagomo, Murata intercepts the blow of the Demon Slayer Corps member that's attacking Tanjiro and Inosuke that are still on the mountain. And then they find the source of the webs, and they see that more threads of these webs are becoming apparent, and more Corps members are entangled and are wounded. And it's nasty. Like, their necks are snapped, blood's everywhere. What do you think about this scene on the mountain?
I liked it. It made it seem real. There are some real consequences for not doing your shit.
And now we see the spider sister is pulling the strings of these core members and making them move around like marionettes or Pinocchio. In the words of, you know, one of my favorite movies is Superbad. He's like, you look like fucking Pinocchio. And we see that this demon that's approaching, we find out, have we learned his name yet? This demon that we saw last time that was standing on the strings, do we know his name yet?
Not yet. He hasn't introduced himself, just came down to give everyone shit and say, you're not going to tear this family apart.
Yeah. So this demon approaches and then tells this other demon, the spider sister, her to hurry up or he will tell father. And the spider sister pulls more of the strings faster and faster. And one of the core members tries to hold back from attacking Tanjiro. But as she's caught in these webs that are being pulled by the spider sister, she's in agonizing pain from pulling back and trying to hold off from attacking our core members here. And then the mangled, torn up core members are pulled upright by the webs, and they're begging Tanjiro to end their lives. And Inosuke offers to finish them off. Inosuke Hashibara trying to finish them off here and end their misery. And Tanjiro uses total concentration breathing and grabs the girl core member that's in agonizing pain and throws her over a tree to hold her back, and it momentarily has stopped them from having the strings pulled by the spider sister and then being controlled. And Inosuke follows and does the same with the second member. And then Tanjiro becomes engaged in conflict with the third wounded corpse member. And then the spider sister is saying and states she will have to release the headless monster that's there near her, entangled in all these webs before her, and it's going to come down to that. And then back to my boy Zenitsu. So he continues to look for Nezuko, and he's complaining. He's like, I'm so scared in the forest. I shouldn't even be here. And then back to Inosuke. He's trying to help. He's trying to help the core members that are being pulled by the spider sisters. And as he's trying to help them and throw them over the trees, the spider sisters snaps all the necks of the remaining core members and they fall to the ground dead. And Tanjiro and Inosuke are then attacked by the headless monster that we saw. And this thing is vicious. It has like scythes for arms, and it's running straight at him. And then back to Zenitsu. So he continues to look for Nezuko as all these spiders are beginning to approach behind him. And we see one significant spider that's approaching behind him. And it kind of reminds me of like the spider toy that was in Toy Story. What'd you think of this spider, by the way, Janelli?
Thought it was ugly. No, it looks like it's going to be a bit of a problem for one of our heroes here.
And so the headless monster of that's coming at Inosuke and Tanjiro strikes the ground, and Inosuke dodges, but he gets caught in these webs that are all over the mountain. And as the monster strikes, Tanjiro deflects the finishing blow he's trying to place on Inosuke, and Tanjiro cuts Inosuke free. And Inosuke launches off of Nezuko's box that Tanjiro has on his back and double slices both the arms off the monster. And then in an uppercut, Tanjiro uses water breathing, fourth form, striking tide, and cuts the legs off the monster. And then Inosuke strikes across the headless monster's torso, cutting it in half, and then the monster disintegrates. Badass moment there. And then Inosuke launches Tanjiro in the air, and Tanjiro is kind of wondering what's going on here. And Tanjiro realizes what Inosuke's plan was. It's so Tanjiro can pick up the location of where the source of the webs is. And Tanjiro's in the air looking, and he sees the spider sister that's controlling all the webs and says, "Water breathing, fifth form, blessed rain after the drought." And this was really cool. So as he's striking down, it almost is like a rainstorm is coming down, but like a calm, misty rain. And Tanjiro strikes through the spider sister's head as she's like desperately looking up at Tanjiro, and it smoothly cuts her head off as she begins to vanish. And then we see our main demon here. So he's using blood demon art to cut the eye off what we refer to as the spider mother, because they're all part of this big spider family. And then the spider father has almost like the face of a tarantula with fangs and is big and massive, and he's beating the spider mother in front of our head spider demon that we'll learn more about later on. And the spider at this moment following Tanjiro, that looks like the spider mother in trouble is in trouble with the father again. Looks like that that Toy Story kind of spider that's following Zenitsu. And then the spider sister says, "A member of the 12 Kizuki is here to be careful," as she's looking at Tanjiro, and the remains of her head disappear. What do you think of this moment, and what are your takeaways for this episode when Tanjiro killed our spider sister here?
The biggest takeaway I have is when she mentioned that, "Be careful, there's one of the 12 Kizuki here." So now, again, I guess it's going to have to be proven, because we've heard it before. We've heard the Temari twins, Chase likes to call them, claim to be of the 12 Kizuki, and they were not. Then we had the drum demon, who was at one point, but was no longer. And now we've got this one saying, but it's not versus saying it is for themselves. It's just saying, hey, like, there is one here, so careful now. So, and, you know, if that's the case, we're really going to see the I feel like we're going to see the difference between a demon who might be strong and might be difficult to defeat, and what one of the 12 Kizuki are capable of. I think that would be my biggest takeaway from that part right there. And then, yeah, in terms of the battle sequences that ensued to allow Tanjiro to get to that point and kill it, yeah, they were cool. You know, nothing really stood out crazy too much there. I think some of the great action at this point in time is going to be saved for episodes in weeks to come. But overall, yeah, it was good. It was enjoyable, and it's where the real the start, like, it starts now. Like, now we're in the real game of Mount Natagumo. That crow, that mission that you have, you're there, and you saw the things that, you know, okay, this woman has puppets on a string that are Demon Slayer cores, and you gotta get past them or whatever. But now we're getting into the nitty gritty. We're getting past the easy mode. We're about to start stepping up a little bit from here on out, and that's just my takeaways from it.
Yeah, I agree. My takeaways are, I did think it was cool, like that headless monster and that badass fight scene with Inosuke and Tanjiro are kind of pulling the WWE tag team there, which was pretty sick. And then Tanjiro launched in the air, and I thought it was cool, like, you know, how it got calm, and you kind of like feel sorry for some of these demons when he cut the head off the spider sister. And yeah, I mean, you have that gruesome scene, you know, they definitely have not been easygoing, I guess is what I would say, with like how gruesome they show these scenes, and like the web snapped the necks right on those core members. So, but yeah, just like you said, I think it's all building, but now we're realizing, you know, this isn't Final Selection anymore. Like, now you're in the real shit. So time to get it going. But so now in episode 17, my boy is going to come into play a little bit. So Zenitsu gets pricked by something, and he's freaking out, and he's complaining why he's there. And he sees one of the spiders with, like, the one we were talking about, we kind of saw briefly last episode. He has like a big baby head. He kind of reminds me of the toy spider that Sid was playing with in Toy Story. He's like, why does that spider have a human face on it? Please be a dream. Please be a dream. Let me wake up from this nightmare. And he like runs into the forest because he's so scared, not because he wants to go in there. And he sees all the humans are caught in webs and turning into spiders. And the spider we saw that was following Zenitsu slides down from his web attached to a old wooden shack that's like caught in this web above, almost as if you've seen a spider like make a web and like hold something in it, like if it was about to eat another bug or something. It's caught this spider, this wooden shack that it's like caught in a web, and it comes down from it. He tells Zenitsu to look at his hands, and Zenitsu looks and sees purple poison causing his hands to swell. And the spider tells Zenitsu eventually he will become a spider, and in 30 minutes he will be one. And the spider pulls out this pocket watch, and he tells him by the time the hand makes full clockwork, he will be a spider, and says, at 5 minutes, you will experience tingling and pain. At 15 minutes, dizzy and nauseous. At 20 minutes, you will painfully start to shrink and black out. And then when you wake up, you will be one of us now, a spider. And Zenitsu is freaking out. He's like screaming. He's surrounded by all the spiders. And there's like thousands of spiders here. What do you think of this moment where you're like, Zenitsu is surrounded by all these spiders?
Gave me the vibes from the Forbidden Forest when all the spiders were with Ron and Harry when they were trying to get to Aragog. You had all them running around, scurrying around. So it was just the animated version of that with Zenitsu. And I already made the comparison from Zenitsu to Ron a couple weeks back. I'm going to stick with it here because he's scared of spiders just like Ronald was.
Oh, yeah, but we recall Ronald and Philosopher's Stone, Sorcerer's Stone really stepped up. So we're going to see what my boy is about to do. Well, he runs up a tree, scared, freaking out. He's like, stay away from me! And he runs up the tree, holding himself in a tree. But in the tree, he recalls his old teacher, who was a Hashira, telling him to get a hold of himself. And he has a flashback to when he had black hair before. And this is really cool. And in this flashback, Zenitsu is apologizing for his fear and gets struck by lightning in a tree and plummets to the bottom of the tree he's holding on to. And laying on the ground, Zenitsu is blonde now. So now we know how Zenitsu got his blonde hair. He was struck by lightning, which is pretty intense because we can see it kind of plays into his style, his breathing style for sure. And next to him, His teacher reminds him, he said, "The potential lies within you, Zenitsu." Despite Zenitsu always saying, "I don't have what it takes," he reminds him, "You do." And Zenitsu's like hair even begins to fall out from where he was struck by lightning. And of course, we know now it turns blonde. And Zenitsu then faints on the tree and falls off the tree branch and begins to plummet. And air protrudes from his teeth. And as he's falling out of the tree where all the spiders are. And then he's asleep and says, "Thunder breathing technique. First form." As Zenitsu launches off of the tree branch where all the spiders are towards the other spiders on the ground where there's like an army of them. And the spiders are shooting purple poison out of their mouth at him, saying, "Poison spodum!" And he's dodging all the purple poison. And Zenitsu twists to the ground and dodges. And then the spider is like wondering why Zenitsu is like not the same as before, and realizes he keeps using the same form to dodge all the poison that's being spewed at him. And Zenitsu has only ever mastered one attack, which is the thunderclap and flash that we saw previously. And Zenitsu recalls his master saying, "Fantastic, Zenitsu. Mastering one form is a cause for celebration. If you can only do one thing, hone it to perfection. Work on refining it to its utmost potential." And Zenitsu recalls that thunder breathing has six forms, but he could only master one. And Zenitsu's grandfather in this flashback says, "When forging a sword, you hammer and hammer to get rid of impurities and anything else you don't need. The greater the impurity, the greater the purity of the blade, the more durable it becomes." Which is symbolic to, if you can only do one thing, do it perfectly. So make sure you do it right. And then back in reality here, the spider says, "You're not much of a threat, are you? And you call yourself a demon slayer. Any minute now, you will be rendered immobile by that poison." And back in Zenitsu's mind here in this flashback, Zenitsu's grandfather says, "Zenitsu, perfect it. It's all right to cry or go off by yourself," because of course he's crying again. "Just don't ever give up. Believe in yourself. You endured all that hellish training. You'll be rewarded for that without question. Work to forge yourself like a tempered blade and become the most resilient of all. Focus on what you do best." And then back in reality, lightning immerses from Zenitsu's hands and is flickering, and he's dodging the spiders that are spewing more poison, and 25 baby spiders launch at him. And in his mind, Zenitsu recalls a peer he trained with scolding him and telling him he's a waste of time and to get out and leave. And the man throws fruit on him and reminds him to stop calling his master grandpa, and tells him that his master was a former Hashira in the Demon Slayer Corps. And the man tells Zenitsu he clings on to him like a patch of mold and to get out, and he's a waste of everyone's time. And Zenitsu vows to be important to someone and remembers he has no parents and continues to recall all the harsh training he went through with his gramps. But his gramps, through all that time, despite his complaining, never abandoned him. And then, back in reality, Zenitsu steps back, dodges the 25 spiders. Blood comes out of his mouth, but he grips his sword. And the spiders engulf Zenitsu, just like an army of spiders fully cover him. And he's catching his breath, and lightning erupts and explodes around them. And Zenitsu's eyes glow white. Thunder breathing, first form, thunderclap and flash, sixfold. And lightning explodes everywhere. And then the spider with the pocket watch begins to retreat and spits another round of poison as he's trying to retreat to safety. And Zenitsu vanishes. And Zenitsu darts across five trees, launching himself on overhead fashion towards the spider that retreated. in a zigzag direction, six directions. Lastly, vertical, directly up to the wooden shack, slicing off the spider with the pocket watch, his head reflecting in the full moon. Zenitsu holds his sword and then falls on top of the woodshed, and the pocket watch cracks and the spider burns up. Zenitsu stares at the moon in fatigue. Zenitsu, my guy, has kicked some motherfucking ass. You don't mess with the blonde boy. What's your thoughts on that, Jay Nelly?
It's about time he did something worthwhile. I mean, the last time he did something, it was in that house with the drum demon and had that weird, almost reptilian-looking one with the long tongue come at him. And yeah, he did one quick attack, and that one was gone. So it's about time he had to work a little bit to get this one. And yeah, it was cool. It's great to see. You know, if you, like you said, if you're going to be good at one thing, might as well be the best you can at that one thing, since that's really all he can do. Yeah, even a broken clock is right twice a day. I'll say that.
It was sick, man. I thought it was badass. But unfortunately, because he did get bit, the poison has taken over, and Zenitsu begins to cry, looking at the moon again, and he's back in reality, and he hears his grandpa in his head saying, "Don't ever give up." And Zenitsu uses his breathing technique he remembers to slow the poison, but his eyes begin to fade and close. And then back to Tanjiro and Inosuke, they hear thunder in the distance. And then the spider mother stands across the river staring at Tanjiro and Inosuke and calls for the spider father. And then the built massive spider father with the tarantula face that we talked about in the previous episode strikes towards Tanjiro and Inosuke, and Tanjiro uses second form water wheel to slash down on the father spider. In the episode ends. What's your takeaways for this episode, G. Nelly?
Full action, full time. So this was a really cool episode. It made up for last week where I was a little bit kind of lacklustered, and I was like, yeah, you know, some things were cool, but you know, this really kind of did a job. It was from the very beginning, followed Zenitsu fighting that spider and all the spiders that were around, but the main baby looking spider that you mentioned looked like the one from Toy Story back in the day. So it was nonstop. Again, we got to see Zenitsu do something useful and worthwhile as a demon slayer. Great. Then you go move over to what you're talking about with Tanjiro, and it was great to see him try to attack. Don't really know what's going to happen there, but what you do know is Papa Demon looks like he's gonna be a lot to deal with. So we might see what we think was gonna be a sick attack. Who knows? Maybe it won't do what it's anticipated that it's gonna do to really hold off on a hair razor or a cliffhanger, I guess I can say. But yeah, no, that's my biggest takeaway of this episode. It was just action from start to finish. Non-stop fighting. We got to learn more about Zenitsu's past, his grandfather, his trainer, how he only knows one form, but he knows that one form. Got to see him from when he was barely starting out to when he got struck by lightning. He said his hair changed. And one thing I will think is interesting is that, and I want everyone to pay attention to this, regardless of how he appears and how there's lightning on his blade and how his hair is blonde, his breathing form that he knows is not lightning breathing. It's thunder breathing. So it's a little bit interesting that he almost looks like a lightning-based demon slayer, but his base technique is thunder breathing. So that's just some of the takeaways that I had for this episode. What about you, man?
It was sick, man. It was the Zenitsu show. And you know what they say? Lightning don't strike twice. Well, guess what? Thunder breathing strikes six fucking fold, baby. And he kicked that spider's ass. He kicked an army of spiders. It was a fucking army of psychos. He kicked their ass. That's one that should have been a fucking Demon Slayer Horror Knight's house. That would have been fucking crazy. See, like, the spider shed with all the spiders come at you. It would be sick, but I thought it was awesome. You got to see in Zenitsu's past. You do see a little bit of a tiny moment with kind of who he grew up with, so keep that in mind for much way later on down the road. All these little details kind of pieced together at some point, but it was a lot of really cool pieces, and we got to see Zenitsu once again kind of do something on his own for once, and it's always kind of interesting, like, when he has these moments, he tends to be by himself a lot of times, so it was a really awesome episode. And yeah, you got to see, you know the big bad spider father come out of Nosuke and Tanjiro, so it was cool stuff, which leads us into episode 18. So Giyu and Shinobu, remember we were talking about them a little bit last week. So Giyu and Shinobu have made it to the mountain from where Ubi Ushiki, the head Demon Slayer core leader, has sent them out there, and they see all the core members from where we were talking about previously, from where the spider sister had snapped their necks. So they see all the dead Demon Slayer core members that are attached to webs, and Shinobu and Giyu decide to split up. And Shinobu,
there's just one thing I want to, I'm sorry for cutting you off and jumping in here, but I want to make sure that everyone's clear. The demon that was controlling them with the threads, that was the mother demon, not the sister demon. The sister demon comes up later on
sister,
here.
Sister, mother, whatever.
So yeah, it's the mother demon that was the one that was killed, and the one that was using the threads to control them, like the puppet master. So just important, because the reason why I say that, obviously we know who Nezuko is to Tanjiro, and they have a little bit of back and forth, and I don't want to get into it too much from this way, but you know, when we find out who the real mastermind is behind these demons in this specific area, it does become a level of importance of who is who to whom. So I just want to make sure we all know that the mother was the one that was controlling him with the strings, and she's the one that's now dead. But yeah, that's all I want to mention.
Yeah, so, which there's only one that really matters out of this whole family anyways. But yeah, so then Shinobu and Giyu decide to split up, and Shinobu takes the west and Giyu takes the east. And then Tanjiro, where we left off last episode, his sword gets stuck in the father demon's arm, and Inosuke strikes, and remember he has like those gouged out like swords, almost look like a saw or something, like a bandsaw or something, right? And he's striking and they're stuck, and Inosuke jumps at the father spider but gets smashed backwards, and Tanjiro is, you know, using his next form as his water breathing second form, improved lateral water wheel, which is like another stage of that same form. And Tanjiro strikes through a tree and it falls in an attempt to drown the demon. And Tanjiro says, water breathing, the most powerful form, 10th form. And Tanjiro launches but gets blocked by the father demon, who smashes him with the end of the decapitated tree trunk that he had used in the beginning to try to drown him. And Tanjiro just keeps reminding himself, don't die here. That's one of the 12 Kizuki. Promise me you won't die. You know, we keep having our expectations of the 12 Kizuki here. And then back to Zenitsu, my guy. So he's losing all feelings in his arms and legs and begins to fade. And, you know, my boy Zenitsu, he's saying, Nezuko, I'm sorry. And he's starting to fade, and he hears his gramps shouting, don't give up. And Zenitsu sees a small butterfly in the distance, and a woman that looks like a butterfly, and she kind of like flaps down with her kimono, and it's Shinobu that's above him, and she lands on the wooden shack. And back to Tanjiro, he's using water wheel again and smashes into the tree, and but falls down. And then Tanjiro sees the main demon we've seen in the beginning off in the distance, And then the spider, you would call her the spider sister, I guess, right? Because the spider mother's dead. So the spider sister. And then the main demon, which we don't know his name yet, right? I don't want to get away, is why. So he says, talking to the spider sister, the two of us are family. We have a powerful bond. This is between me and my sister. If you insist on interfering, I'll carve you up. And telling that to, you know, Tanjiro, who he sees. And Tanjiro says, all I'm picking up from you two is terror, hate, and revulsion. That's not a bond. It's a forgery. And then we have a core member that's still alive and attempts to kill this demon and take credit for defeating him. And the demon throws his webs at the core member and slices him to pieces. So the air gets heavier, and then Tanjiro is all alone now. And this demon, the main demon here on the mountain, he says, answer me. What do you mean? Explain it to me, in regards to Tanjiro's mention of forgery. And then Inosuke is catching his breath, and he's fighting the father demon. And Inosuke debates what to do. And the father smashes his way towards him, punching everything in his path. And Inosuke jumps on the father demon and slashes his katana, sticking into his arm again, and it doesn't cut through. So what does Inosuke decide to do? Take the other katana and smash the katana like a hammer until it goes through the arm of the father demon and cuts it off and lies on the ground. And back to this main demon that's with Tanjiro. And it's just him. And then you had the spider mother that was there. But they're staring each other down. And all the webs are slicing Tanjiro's face as he's like throwing them at Tanjiro. And he says, just so you know, I'm not going to kill you in a single strike. I'm going to dissect you piece by piece. However, if you take back what you said, I'll make your death merciful. I'll make it quick. And Tanjiro catches his breath and says, I'll never take it back. You're in the wrong. And then Inosuke, fighting the father demon, uses his boar instincts to smell out where the father is and realizes he's on a tree above him. And the father transforms and regenerates. And it's like one of the first times we've seen like a demon regenerate so quickly, and it sheds its skin and grows, and it's more massive now. And the father is growling, and Inosuke is like, I'm gonna die, this is the end. And then Inosuke hears Tanjiro saying, don't die, you have to hold on until I can make it back. And Inosuke recalls the old lady saying from where they were in that safe house last week they were talking about, always live your lives in a fashion where you are able to hold your heads up high. I wish you luck in battle. And then Inosuke stands firm and says, I will not lose. I'm no way I'm gonna lose. I'm Inosuke Hashibara, the Demon Slayer Corps. Give me the worst you got, dirtbag. And then Inosuke dodges the first punch of the father and flips in the air and says, beast breathing. Fang 3, devour. And he strikes down, but his swords break on the father. And the father punches him in the ground and picks him up by the head. But Inosuke doesn't give in. And then shoves in the broken katana blades into the father's neck. And the father doesn't flinch, though. It doesn't do anything. And then he pulls Inosuke up by his head, keeping the katanas intact, crushing and beginning to crush his skull. And I started to get worried for Inosuke here. You can start to see like the blood coming out of the boar mask that you know is coming from his head. What do you think were you worried for Inosuke in this moment?
There's been a few times throughout the series I've been a little bit worried for Inosuke. But yeah, this is the first one, and I was curious because there's been times where it's shown they may not be so hesitant to kill off main characters. So I there was a level of concern. I just saw it was a bit too early and we barely knew anything about him. So My worry was at like a 3 out of 10. Nothing too crazy.
Same. I was about the same. So, and then Inosuke is recalling his mother saying to forgive her, and recalls like her leaving him in the forest, kind of like that whole Tarzan aspect. And Inosuke's mother, he recalls her saying, "At least you have a chance to survive." And blood is trickling down from the boar mask. And but the father's arm splits open out of nowhere. And it's Gyu Tomioka cuts through and continues straight through the father. Cuts right through him with ease and stands in front of Inosuke. And then the father's arm begins to regenerate and roars and charges at Gyu. And Gyu lets the monster get as close as possible and says, with calm, water breathing, fourth form, striking tide. And Gyu smoothly slices the monster into pieces. Head, arms, legs, and torso burst apart at one time. And then back to Tanjiro, he continues to jump over the main demon's web here. And he says, water breathing, first form, water surface slash. And Tanjiro slashes through the first set of webs, and his Nichiren sword breaks at the hilt. And the episode ends. What are your episode takeaways for this one?
This episode was probably my favorite to date. Like, from what we've covered so far here on the podcast, from here today, like when we started this back a few weeks ago and where we are now, I think this is my favorite episode to date. And there's a couple reasons why. Obviously, we hear about the conflict of where Tanjiro is making a big point about the fear that the sister has for the brother demon. He said, there's no love here. It's only terror. And that's going to be a big point. Then on top of that, obviously, Gyu Tomioka is probably my favorite Demon Slayer character. And we get to see him in action. And he easily defeats this father demon. That number one, again, with this whole who the hell is this Kizuki thing, because Tanjiro was shouting that this is like one of the 12 Kizuki, thinking that the father was a big bad. And Gyu went through him like a hot knife through butter. It was no contest. And Chase said he split through his hand at first, got Inosuke out of there, and then when the father regenerated, just ran straight at him, and the calm as day, just said what water-breathing form he was going to use and took him to fucking pieces. And so it was really badass to see that. And on top of it, just all of the action that led up to that point where it was all almost futile. You saw Tanjiro trying to use all his abilities, and you know, he had to hammer through his like one katana to the blade to get through the arm in the first place, and still wasn't going to do anything. And you can imagine, if let's just say that was the neck, you'd still have to do something similar to that. And he just wasn't strong enough. His blade wasn't strong enough. And same thing with Inosuke. You think him as a beast guy and just been the epitome of pure, raw strength to this point so far, swings down and both his swords break. He's got nothing left now, and he's getting his skull crushed. You don't know if he's going to survive or not. And like you mentioned, Shinobu, she goes over there and meets Zenitsu. So there's just so much going on in one episode. And Tanjiro, he's getting caught up and pieced up by these little tiny webs in the brother demon. We won't say his name just yet, as he's not been introduced. He's got him pretty much dead to rights, even to the point where Tanjiro tries to swing his sword and breaks it on one of those webs, and now he doesn't have a sword to use. So right now, Inosuke is down two swords. Tanjiro's down his only weapon, and all we've got is Zenitsu over there passed out, and Nezuko, she hasn't really come out to play just yet. So really, we got Gyu Tomioka and Shinobu who are going to ideally help us all out here. But outside of that, all of our people we've been following, they're fucked. Like, let's say the Hashira didn't show up here. Let's say Tomioka and Shinobu didn't show up. They're dead, dude. Like, it is not close. It's pretty, this was a badass episode. My favorite to where we've covered so far to date here in season 1 of Demon Slayer. Yeah, man. So those are my takeaways on it. Loved it. It was top tier.
Same. It would definitely be my favorite if it wasn't for Zenitsu in the last episode whipping some ass. But anyways, But which gotta give Zenitsu credit. He's the only one that's held his fucking own at this point.
Well, they killed the mother demon. You better be respectful. They killed the mother demon, Tanjiro.
And Inosuke and Tanjiro are basically dead to fucking rights right now.
Zenitsu's on the ground, like, paralyzed, poisoned, and turned into a spider. He's in the same position.
He fought an army of spiders. Last time I checked, Zenitsu could have taken him all out on his own. He took the fucking army of spiders. Now, I don't know if he could have taken out this little demon here we're talking about, but let's just say Zenitsu, he's the man of maybe a... Maybe someone's dreams that's all locked inside a box, according to his eyes, I would say. But anyways, my thoughts are the same. Like, it was absolutely badass. It was action-packed from the start to the finish. Like, there was no let-up there. You know, with them fighting the father was fucking awesome, because that was easily probably, besides this demon we're going to get a little bit more about, besides that one, up until this point, is definitely probably the most challenging one yet, I would say. Even more than, like, Kyoga they faced, you know. I mean, Inosuke was dead to rights. But also, it really showed here, too, you know, we talked about this a little bit, probably why Ibiyoshiki, the main Demon Slayer core leader, probably thought, like, Should I really waste my, like, chess pieces here of Hashira on something this? We can see a very, based on what we saw at the end here, you can see an extreme difference in level. Like, it's not even close. Like, it's an extreme difference in level between the people they put on the front lines, between your best guys. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are, that's all well and good. You don't want to waste your main resources when you might need them against stronger demons later on. But at the same time, you wasted tons of people's lives. You have these demon slayers, the whole battalion that went in there outside of Murata are dead. All of them are gone. So everyone you sent in there are dead. And if you didn't send the Hashira, guess what? Tanjiro's dead, Inosuke's dead, and Zenitsu's dead. And who fuck knows happens to Nezuko? Who knows? So, point being, like, yeah, maybe you want to save it, but if you were just a tad less arrogant, thinking that your Demon Slayer core is so great that they could handle it even at lower levels, you'd still have a lot of lives there, and you wouldn't, like, not so much blow to be on your hands. This is, like, the first time I've really kind of got a little bit annoyed with the main leader of the Demon Slayer core, because he just, it's almost, he wasted them. Wasted lives. Maybe you want to give these the boys the opportunity to grow and maybe one day become better than, you know, whoever they are at this point. But you let at least, what do you call it, 10, 12, 15, maybe 20 individuals go to their death. And then the ones that we're following here would have absolutely have died if the Hashira didn't show up when they finally did. So, like, my thought process is that, who cares if you send him off the board this early? Let him take him out. You didn't lose anything. We just saw how fast Tomioka went through the father demon, who seemed to be one of the strongest, who Tanjiro mistakenly believed was one of the 12 Kizuki. So can you imagine Tanjiro thinking that that was one of the 12 Kizuki, and it's not? So what's stronger than that? They couldn't even beat that. Inosuke was getting his head crushed in by one arm by this dude. And then Tanjiro, you were seeing what's happened to him, and he's got no sword now because he tries to cut a web, and the web broke his Nichirin sword. So what the hell are you going to do? So my point is we, if you're smart, you should probably, if I was the lead man of the Demon Slayer Corps, I don't know his name, but in any event, if I was that guy, I'd probably send a good battalion of 10 mid-level, maybe lower mid-level Demon Slayers, and then one Hashira with them. Just, and then maybe, like, let them hang back and be like, hey, you know what? See what they can handle. If it starts to go south, fucking handle it. But I'm not letting 20 Demon Slayer mid to low mid-level members just get butchered. That was insane. So those are my takeaways on that.
Yeah, I agree. That was a little extreme. Like, and keep in mind, like, these are still members that made it out of final selection. So, I mean, it's not like they were, like, in training or anything. Like, they were on the front line. Yeah, they just got neck snapped and all. Like, that was it. And, I mean, that sucks. But, I mean, we just saw, like, the level of difference there, which is just so – it's not even close. Like, it's not even close. And that's something we'll see much farther later on. It's going to be very interesting to compare, say, like, when we finish covering, like, this big Demon Slayer arc here in Season 3 of Factor Fantasy, like, thinking about, like, what the difference is in between of, like, people this level to that level, and then how far it even goes on the opposing antagonist side. You know, it's just totally different levels, but it was awesome. What debates did you have for the day, Jay Nelly?
So I have one debate for the day, and I guess my biggest debate or question is, like, it's not quantifiable, really, but the fact that we still have yet to see a member of the 12 Kizuki in action, in real action to this point. Like, obviously, you and I know something that is about to come up in next week's episode here that we'll cover. But point being is, where we're at right now, we've not seen a single of the 12 Kizuki in action. And we have seen multiple times where our heroes are on death's doorstep. With the drum demon, it got close. He was breaking bones and stuff, and he was used to be one of the 12 Kizuki. We got the father demon that's mistaken as one of the 12 Kizuki, and he had them both toasted. They're, Tanjiro and Inosuke together could not match this guy. So my question is like, if these people, if our main people here, Tanjiro, Inosuke, and Zenitsu, can barely handle demons that aren't even at the lower level of the 12 Kizuki, what the fuck are they going to do when they have to be faced with one of the 12 Kizuki one-on-one head-on?
Well, I mean, I don't want to give anything away, but, I mean, you got to train harder. That's the only answer. I mean, which really makes me think, speaking of your debate, like, remember we were talking about, you know, one of Tanjiro's earliest missions, like, he went and encountered Muzan and he tried to take him on right there. His ass is struggling against all these lower level nobodies, and you were trying to take on Big Daddy at this point in time. Like, do you realize what a slaughter fest that would have been? Like, Tanjiro, you fucking idiot. Like, moral support, man. I give you claps for trying and trying to act like you did something, but I'm surprised Smooth Criminal didn't just fucking laugh in your face in front of his little girl. Like, that's pathetic. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, my thoughts on that is, you're absolutely right. That would have been a slaughter fest. Can you imagine? He wouldn't even have to take much time. He probably could have just did, like, a quick flinch and put the butt of his hand to Tanjiro's neck and took his neck clean off. Probably wouldn't even have to do much work if he wanted to just make a quick mission. So the fact that Tanjiro drew any sort of fear in Muzan just because of his earrings, the Yanafuda earrings, I just don't know how that should have shook Muzan at all. This isn't Dragon Ball Z where people have got a power scout or radar, so maybe Muzan just thought Tanjiro might be a higher level demon slayer than he really was, and maybe that threw him off just a bit. But man, if it got down to it, that boy would have been torn to shreds. You better be thanking his lucky stars that he didn't catch Muzan in a dark alley away from everyone, because he wouldn't have lived to tell the damn tale. So yeah, that's what I think about that specifically. To translate back to the debate that I was mentioning and my thoughts on that side of stuff, It's like, I understand like the training harder aspect, but even to what we've really seen with some of the 12 Kizuki, where, you know, you and I are at the series, we've never really gotten a one-on-one really with Tanjiro and one of the 12 Kizuki, period. So it's not like I'm trying to give stuff away. You know, obviously we'll see more of the Kizuki as the series goes on. But point is that what, like, we in next week we will have seen one of the Hashira against one of the Kizuki, no problem, one-on-one, right? So it's like, I don't know. What is Tanjiro going to do? At what point is he going to be able to handle one of these one-on-one? Because like I said, every one of the Kizuki to this point, we're not going to get into every single one or name them or really do. But just know that whatever battle he's had, it has not been Tanjiro versus one of the members of the 12 Kizuki. He's had some level of assistance. So, and conversely about that, we have seen other members of the Demon Slayer Corps one-on-one against the Kizuki, and it's not really an issue for that one. So I don't know. Like, I guess, like, what is he going to do when he's got to fucking put his big boy pants on?
Yeah, that's a really good point, because he really hasn't been faced with any of that, and he better hope he fucking doesn't. That's all I got to say, because I think that's kind of the point right now, is they're kind of like phased to the brink, right? Like, think about every battle he's had. Like, even I call them the Temari twins, right? Even though they're not twins, it was like a boy and a girl, Hanaba, Yahaba, and Sesamaru. His real only one-on-one would have been with Big Daddy seeing the Hanafuda earrings. And that would have been let's just say if there was a one-on-one, there wouldn't be a story. So we're glad there was no one-on-one, because bro caught him with his pants down when he was with his child at the movie theater. Wow, you're really fucking cool. Like, so much for take this outside. He tried to take him outside, but he decided it wasn't worth his time or breath at all. So he sent the Temari twins that he could barely handle, right? Which, even going into that, the Temari twins, the only reason Tanjiro got over that was he had to rely on what's his name? Yushiro. Yeah, not giving anything away. But anyways, Yushiro to his like eyesight. And Tamayo is really, I would say, the Tamayo was really your secret weapon there. Out of all of that, I would say. And you still had some help from Nezuko in a way. So yeah, he's been using his allies. He definitely used Inosuke to take a hit here. And finally, he gets his whole one-on-one situation that's kind of coming up. I mean, I think, like, you know, he does everything he can. But up in for a while, I mean, you got to get stronger, because you better hope you don't get a one-on-one with a Kizuki. Because, I mean, you know. Fuck around and find out is all I gotta say. So I really don't have an answer for it, because my only answer is train harder, because if he comes face to face with a Kizuki, fuck around and find out.
Yeah, I don't disagree with the whole fuck around find out part. It's just, we've seen it constantly. And to your point there, he even just, in a fashion, ditched Inosuke. He's like, hey, man, don't die. Good luck with Pop over there. I'm going to go over here. I know it wasn't really his fault. He kind of got smashed by the damn log or whatever. But point being is that he's lucky he's got some friends that have his back. And that's really what it comes down to. And I get it. That's probably the moral of the story, is teamwork makes the dream work, and everyone working together to overthrow some evil. All I'm saying is some of the main badasses of the Demon Slayer Corps don't need assistance when it comes to the Kizuki. And it looks like our group does to this point. And they need all the help they can get. All of it. Because there's been at least three times where most of them probably should have been dead. Tanjiro probably gone, Inosuke probably gone, Zenitsu basically dead right now. Obviously, we'll see what happens going forward, but he should be happy that those Hashira got there when they did, because we would be having a totally different story if Tomioka and Shinobu didn't show up. But anyways, man, what date do you have for the day?
Yeah, and I want to touch on that for a minute, though, like what you're saying, because it makes me think, and I'm not going to give anything away in the future at all, but there's something that comes to mind that we're going to get into weeks from now, probably about a month from now. But there is one one-on-one that is a badass one-on-one that really says fuck around and find out. So think about this is what I'll say is even the Hashira know sometimes not to fuck around and find out. So it's just like, I think maybe that's the game, is teamwork makes a dream work. But going full circle here, I really wonder what would have happened if there was just a fucking slaughter fest at the movie theater. Like, I mean, like, what do you think would have happened? Do you think Ubi Ashiki, that's his name, the lead Demon Slayer Corps member, do you think something would have happened and maybe that would have given something away there? Or, like, what would have happened on that? And then my debate for the day, and I'll let you kind of branch off from this, is the fact of touching on Giyu and Shinobu and how they arrived so late with Ibi Ashiki, who is the lead head over Demon Slayer Corps. Why don't you think he put, like, why doesn't he do this as far as, like, almost like an army? Like, why don't you send one Hashira in with a battalion in these areas, but no, he just sent a whole group of, like, novices in for something that had potential to be 12 Kizuki, is the rumors we keep hearing.
Well, that's exactly what I had said earlier when I was going through the takeaways part of it, was that you should have had maybe 10 to 12 of the battalion and just one Hashira to sit back and make sure shit was cool, and then if shit started to go sideways, to step in and handle the business. So I know I kind of answered those in reverse there. But yeah, if everything went down at the movie theater and Muzan, Kibutsuji just slaughtered Tanjiro, I just think you're right when you said it the first time and that there wouldn't be a story. I think that's just it. I think, you know, because a lot of the story kind of follows two main characters into fulfilling their destiny in Tanjiro and Nezuko. And without Tanjiro, Nezuko ain't fulfilling shit. She's a demon. So, yeah, I think that pretty much kills the story right there. There was just going to be an endless fight throughout the however long to see how many demons they could kill and how many Hashira could keep taking the places of the Hashira that die. And the same with the other members of Demon Slayer Corps, keep replacing them as often as you can and trying to take out those demons. So I don't really know, but I also want to touch on what you mentioned too, that even with the Hashira, it's still going to be difficult in a one-on-one setting. Cause I know what you're talking about and I'm also not going to ruin anything or spoil it ahead of time, but I also believe if we're going to speak to that, we have to speak about the 12 Kizuki and what, 12 is a number, and there may be some significance to the numbers in the 12 Kizuki. And point being is that Tanjiro, Inosuke, and Zenitsu have faced none of those numbers, none of them. And so they are... they are right at facing a number. We're about to write at that spot there. I'm not going to ruin it just now, but it's not anywhere near the one-on-one you're speaking of, that number. So I think that there's still even a greater distance in power ability between some of the 12 Kizuki than others, and that needs to be mentioned before we just slander one of the best one-on-ones that we'll get into, like, as Chase said, maybe a month from where we are here today. But yeah, those are my thoughts on that. Did you want to, you know, like, backtrack there and get into your part of the debate of the whole planning of attacking what the rumors were, one of the 12 Kizuki in the mountain? Because like I said, I already had that plan. I would have just set like a level of troops and see if they could handle it and hang back. And when it started to get bad, then have the Hashira already there, so that way you ain't got to send them later on and just sacrifice so many people. You know, maybe you let them go as hard as they can, and once you see at least two die, I think that's when you got to, you know, get in there instead of leading them into the slaughterhouse, so to speak.
Yeah, and well, what I kind of want to elaborate on here to ask you, though, is what I mean by that is, why don't you think they do this, like, everywhere? Like, why don't you think his plan is... Why do you think Ubushiki sends in just, like, battalions of novices here? Do you think it's, like, to test the water to see what's there if you don't really know? Or why don't you send, like, one Hashira in to wherever the mission is? Like, say you have a crow, like the communication crow that comes in. Why is it not, like, that one crow communicates to, like, a group of people, and instead you're just sending it out to each Demon Slayer Corps member that has their own mission? Do you think it's to cover a more widespread area, or do you think it's just because maybe they don't have enough people, or it's to kind of test the waters there and then they'll get more feedback? What are your thoughts on that?
I think the thought process is multifold, and what I mean by that is that Hashira are the top level of the Demon Slayer Corps, and similarly to the 12 Kizuki on the antagonist side, there's likely not a whole lot of the Hashira. So it'd be damn near impossible to send them all out on a mission at the same time to where they've got to basically supervise a battalion and be that level of safety net if necessary. So that it's probably just not really plausible with how many Hashira there are, and I mean that means in not many Hashira. Then on the flip side, and to continue on to another problem, is that these Hashira probably have huge missions of their own that only the Hashira are able to accomplish and take on. Like, as if there's any sort of real evidence or proof that either Muzan or one of the verified 12 Kizuki are somewhere, there's nothing but a Hashira that can really help out. And so they've probably got their own higher level missions that they have to do on their own versus being responsible for all the battalions that they're going to send to whatever to see if they can survive and kill demons and make their way up the Demon Slayer Corps ranks themselves. There's probably just a numbers problem and then a missions problem of, hey, look, we still got stuff that none of y'all motherfuckers can do. You know, but only the top of the top can handle these missions. And so if you combine that with the fact that we just don't have that many Hashira to begin with, there's just multiple problems on having that be the preferred method of, okay, well, guess what? Now we're going to go out here and just have a supervisor. So I don't know. I think what we really need, especially up to this point, because I don't know if the further seasons, season 4 and beyond, will explain this a little bit better, or if I've really got to take a look into the manga myself, but I really would like to know the different ranks of the Demon Slayer. I know they've listed them out, but I would like to see the gap in between, you know, whatever the fifth rank of the Demon Slayer Corps is to the second rank right below Hashira. You know what I mean? So I really wonder what the gap of ability is in between them and so far and so forth of, like, who you send where, and really get into that kind of rabbit hole. But to this point of where Demon Slayer is, we really only hear of, like, the Mizunoto and the Hashira. We don't really hear too much about the ranks in between, nor do we really see the gap of ability and power level difference between the ranks of the Demon Slayer Corps.
Yeah, true. One thing I will say as a side note, which is pretty cool, as part as, like, the Demon Slayer lore, it talks some about it, is how, like, the Hashira are actually some of the richest people in the whole universe, because Ubushiki, which it touches on it a little bit in the show later on that we'll talk about in a few weeks, but, like, he's over all that, and they're highly respected because there's so few of them, so they're heavily paid. So there's a scene, I won't get into it, but later on this season, actually, where one of the Hashira throws, like, all this money out and it's because, like, he thinks so much of them, they're basically paid the most. So imagine, like, you're a Hashira, you walk into a town, you can buy, like, whatever the fuck you want, but you really don't care about it. But to answer my own question, thought here is, yeah, just because I guess there's so few, so you probably wouldn't want to put your best men on the line. But especially this situation, you would think you would want to put one out front, almost like a, you know, a General Armstrong or something, riding out on a white horse and like taking charge and just slashing up everything you can. But yeah, I guess because there's so few of them, you kind of want to salvage what you have and test the waters first. But yeah, he definitely expended a lot of people. But yeah, I kind of think too, maybe the name of the game is teamwork. And that's kind of why he was testing the waters there. But yeah, we'll see where everything goes. But yeah, you want to close us out for the day, Jay Nelly?
Sounds good, my man. Well, folks, if this is the first time that you have listened to us and tuned in, we really hope you enjoyed what you heard and stick around. And if you've been one of those who have followed us from the very beginning, thank you for continuously being the shields that guard the realms of fantasy. When it comes to where you can find us online, we're on all the social sites. We're on Instagram at Official Ridiculous Patronus. We're on TikTok at Ridiculous Patronus. We've got a backup Instagram at @fact_or_fantasy, a backup TikTok at @fact_or_fantasy. We've got a Facebook fan page, which is Chase and Josh Factor Fantasy. We're on YouTube at Ridiculous Patronus. We are on Twitter at RP Factor Fantasy, and we are on Snapchat RP Factor Fantasy. Also have our own website as well, ridiculouspatronus.blogspot.com. So please click like, subscribe, follow along, leave written reviews, leave star ratings, comment, engage on all the posts. All of the engagement that you bring really does help us out here on the show. And then for the podcast itself, if you're an Apple user, you can find us on Apple Podcasts. We're also, if you're an Android user, you can find us on Google Play, but we're also on iHeartRadio. We're also on Audible. We're also on Amazon Music. We're also on Stitcher, Acast, and our own host site, Podbean, as well. Honestly, wherever you get your podcast, Chase and Josh Factor Fantasy are there, but we are out for the night because this has been another ridiculous production.
Chase and Josh
Factor Fantasy
signing off.